listener. So you've had a long day, been working all for many hours. You just want to lean back, wind down, maybe take a bubble bath, have a glass of champagne, and just, you know, stop thinking about the troubles in your life. Well, you're more than welcome to do that here. So all I want you to do is just close your eyes, put in your earbuds, listen to the dulcet tones of Cedric Skycetti and the somewhat less dulcet tones of me, your other host, Becky, as you listen to the Happy Project Podcast. Listen.
What am I hearing? Listening to what?
You know. You're listening to...
Yeah. Oh, it is.
The Happy Project.
The Happy Project Podcast.
Yeah.
Aha. Maybe I should open an ASMR channel.
Oh, man. That was really good. But, man, what does dulcet mean? Dulcet tones?
Dulcet tones.
Do you even know what it means? Using big words.
I always associate it with kind of like musical and velvety. What if it's entirely wrong? Dulcet is like a word used to describe a woodpecker or something.
I'm sorry for exposing you. I was genuinely curious.
You have dulcet tones.
This girl, she be using words that I've never even heard of.
Even I don't know.
Barely. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Happy Project Podcast, everybody.
Welcome, welcome. So I have a question for you this time.
Okay.
So growing up, let's just say in your teenage years or adolescent years, was there something when it comes to like playing games or sports, was it something that people knew you for or thought you could do well?
I'm sorry.
What?
I just thought about high school me and how ridiculous I was. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, can you ask your question again? Okay, I got lost for a moment.
So as an adolescent or a teenager,
okay.
Was there something that you were known for to do well when it comes to athleticism or sports? Like, for example, you're tall, right?
Yeah. No, okay. Look, I'm very tall, all right? I have a good wingspan. I have longish legs. Everyone was like, oh, Becky, you should be a basketball player. So I tried doing basketball in sixth grade. I did play center. We won like all the games. But that's just because we had Jordan on the team and she was a really good player.
Oh, I thought you meant like Michael Jordan.
No, yeah, back in the day.
But yeah, y'all really good.
No, we had Jordan on the team and she was so good. We always won because I would just pass the ball to her. And then after that, I was like, you know what? I realize I'm not that great of a basketball player. And then in high school, I was recruited for track because they wanted me to jump hurdles and do long jump because I've got long legs. And, you know, by the end of that, I was like, man, I just can't do this. I can't run fast or high. So
can't run high.
It was just like, okay, I won't do that. Volleyball, you know, in university, they would try to be like, why don't you just join the girls' volleyball? Like, you know, we play games every once in a while. It'd be fun. No, I'm not good at that either. So can we just cut out athleticism altogether? Forget my height?
Okay.
Does it have to be sports related?
No. It's just something that maybe you were known for, people associated you with being good at.
Oh, talking?
Okay, talking, yeah.
No, well, that's true. Yeah, debate team. That's what
you, yeah.
The teacher tried to track me down for debate. I was very good at debating and public speaking and singing. That was my thing. That's what I was known for. So through middle school, high school, everyone thought I was going to go pursue a career in musical theater and as a singer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everyone expected of me.
Gotcha.
Then when I went off and was like, I'm going to be a nurse. Nobody believed in me, including myself.
Well, why did you decide to be a nurse?
Well, I was like, I'm going to change the world. And by doing that, I'm going to go be a nurse. And then that way I can help people in war zones. And I would go work for like Doctors Without Borders. And that was my plan, which is why you do not give 17-year-olds the decisions to make for their life 100% by themselves. So yeah, so that was kind of what happened to me. And then obviously I've gone many different directions since.
Yeah. But I think you have elements of everything that you mentioned. There are elements that you use today, especially like
my nursing.
Well, besides that.
Okay.
Outside of that.
Yeah.
Like your debate skills.
True.
You debate me all the time and you win, quite frankly.
Oh.
Yep.
Ding, so ding, ding.
Even if I'm completely right and I have all my facts together, hang you will still
second.
Win.
Hang on a second. I feel like this is coming from some deep-rooted anger somewhere inside
you. No, I'm
just
saying. You're very, very convincing. Like, you would have made a good, like, I don't know, prosecutor maybe.
Oh, but, yeah.
That is a very good answer to the question, I think.
Was it? I felt like it was not answer your question at all.
It was like kind of going around where I was hoping to take you. But no, that's cool.
Wait, what about you? What were you known for?
Well, I was assumed to be a good basketball player.
Mm-hmm. Were you?
Because I was like usually the tallest in the grade up until maybe 9th, 10th grade.
Yeah.
That's when everyone else pretty much caught up. Because I'm 6 feet. So yeah. I'm pretty, you know, average, but maybe on the taller side of average.
But if you went to the NBA, you'd
I'd be short.
Short.
Yeah, I'd be on the shorter side for sure. Yeah. So, I tried out for the basketball team in middle school. Mm-hmm. And again, I was like quite tall for my age and I didn't make the first cut.
Oh,
so.
Well, neither did Jordan. Michael Jordan, not my Jordan.
right. No, that is true. Yeah, that's pretty well known. I'm just not very athletic. So we'll
yes,
just
you
move
are.
On. Well,
yes,
move on
you
from,
are.
We'll move on from this conversation. Well, in terms of like organized team sports, I got cut from everything I tried out for.
Okay.
The only thing I played was recreational football. And that was because there were no tryouts. They just accepted everybody. And they put me on the line because I was, you know. I was big. I was a big kid. Yeah. All right. They just put me on the line. I just had to block people from hitting the quarterback. That's
important. That's very important.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be a basketball player.
Oh, okay. Wow. We're revealing a lot of things about you today.
This is like a therapy session.
Okay.
Man.
So wait. Okay. Why did you bring up that question about athleticism?
Well, it sort of ties into our topic. Not that I, you know, was trying to make it tie in.
Yeah.
But I mean, it makes sense because today we're going to be talking about positive stereotypes.
Aha, positive stereotypes.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. That makes sense. Because a positive stereotype about you, he's tall. Therefore, he's good at basketball.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's where I was trying to lead you into.
But apparently
we're not good at basketball.
I ran the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's the same. Yeah, I get that because I get that stereotype too. Oh, you're tall. Therefore, you must be such and such.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we think of the word stereotypes, you know, some people might associate sort of, they don't necessarily associate it with being bad or good. But I think majority of people would, if they had to choose, would say stereotypes can be negative.
I think in general, most people will think stereotypes are negative, right? Because
mm-hmm.
usually when you throw out in a conversation, most of the time you're like, hey, don't stereotype, or that's
right.
a stereotype.
Well, I guess the stereotype in and of itself could be neutral, but I think using the stereotype or associating that stereotype with a group of people is usually a negative thing or seen as negative.
Yeah, I think because it can result in very negative things.
Yeah.
If you're not wise about it.
Right. Or you're just painting such a broad stroke to define a certain group of people.
Yeah.
And saying all people are like this or they do this.
Yeah. And on one hand, to be fair, you know, to be on the advocate for stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
but to be fair, we use stereotypes in all circumstances. We use it very, very frequently because when we're considering like big issues, or issues that involve lots and lots of layers or lots and lots of people or organizations or mm-hmm. countries, using these stereotypes can be useful in narrowing down how we're going to navigate all of that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like as wonderful as it would be and ideal as it would be that we could handle every single situation or conflict by understanding the people involved 100% and their full background and where they're coming from, everything. That would be ideal
mm-hmm.
if you were perfectly 100% all-knowing judge, but we're not. So we kind of resort to a lot of times stereotypes to help us make sense of big group issues.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's no like 100% like winning or losing with that. It's just, it is what it is. Like when you're trying to make sense, like I guess on a broad scale, if mm-hmm. you're planning on taking a trip to a foreign country that you've never been to,
mm.
a lot of times, whether you realize it or not, you're going to come across or rely on stereotypes to help you navigate or make sense of wherever you're going.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, I guess in that angle, it's not necessarily, it doesn't always have to be a bad thing. It could, but what I would say is, if anything, it should be used as maybe a starting point if you're going to use it.
Sure.
Into trying to understand and make sense. And then you got to go deeper.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I never really thought about this idea of stereotypes deeper than, I guess, how everybody else views it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we use stereotypes all the time for basis of jokes when we make jokes about people. Like, yeah. Because we have a collective concept of like, oh yeah, haha, that's true about those kind of people. And it can create, you know, like a comedic way to be able to discuss about deeper rooted issues.
Right.
So stereotypes are useful in that manner.
Oh yeah. No. I think stand-up comedy would probably be pretty lame if stereotypes were not involved.
Yeah.
At least the type of stand-up comedy I like.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Like you have to have this collective concept about something, whatever you're talking about,
right.
So that everyone can be in on the joke.
Right.
Right?
That makes sense.
But in this case, like stereotypes, I think what we're struggling to define it though is because in a lot of ways it is used in a negative manner. Not because a stereotype itself is always negative, mm-hmm. but I think because a stereotype by its nature strips away certain aspects of a person
yeah.
or a people group. It kind of flattens them a little bit to make it easier to digest or easier to just understand, place them in your mind, okay, and move forward. Right? If I can say all people are like this, it justifies my behavior when I behave this certain way. Right? So in that case, stereotypes can be used in a way that's maybe useful sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, a stereotype is it's turning a person from a full-rounded individual into just whatever qualifications or words you want to use to describe them because it makes you comfortable that way or because you don't want to know more about them
right.
or because you want to use that stereotype to justify some bad thing that you're doing, mm-hmm. right? That being said, I think in general, stereotypes are divided into two camps. You have negative stereotypes and positive stereotypes, which I think if you always think, stereotypes are negative, I do think there are positive stereotypes that do exist, even if the result may still end up being negative,
mm-hmm.
right? So for example, negative stereotype. Now we're going to talk specifically about being mixed Korean. And this may result or relate to you even if you are not mixed Korean. Maybe you are biracial with some other cultures and ethnicities. Or maybe you're a Korean adoptee or whatever your case may be.
Mm-hmm.
You've faced stereotypes in your own life. But we're going to come from our point of views, which is the mixed Korean stereotypes
yeah.
that we hear. So like a negative stereotype that you might get about a mixed Korean, especially more in the older days, is, oh, you're mixed white and Korean? Your mom must have been a prostitute.
Mm.
This is a negative stereotype that can exist. Or if you are like, let's say, black and Korean, especially in the old days, it could be like, oh, you were abandoned because of your dad,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of putting blame on where it really may have existed. The Korean society didn't want to accept you or something like that. So, but those stereotypes, especially in the old days, it just helped to make sense of all the chaos after the Korean War. And so a lot of negative stereotypes have been placed on mixed Koreans throughout the years. And I feel like as time goes by, now there are a lot of positive stereotypes being made about mixed Koreans. And we're going to talk about a few of them, why they might exist, and why in the end, those could still have a kind of negative outcome.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so some of the more positive or seemingly positive stereotypes, and this is something that we hear all the time. And I think this goes beyond just mixed Koreans, like just mixed anybody. It's like,
yeah,
mixed babies or mixed people are all beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? They're yeah. all unique and they just have these like the best of both worlds.
Oh yeah. Best of both worlds.
Yeah,
you'll
that
hear that
type
a lot.
Of, yeah,
yeah.
Like even physically.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, this is something I'm so… Oh, sorry. You were…
No, I was just going to say, sadly, it's not necessarily true. But yeah.
Yeah, that's also kind of true. Yeah, I mean, not every single mixed Korean is gorgeous out there. I mean, obviously, we are not talking about you, listener.
No,
you definitely are.
You listeners are gorgeous.
But we have to be fair and say this is a stereotype because it does paint a broad stroke. Right? Oh, everybody who's mixed is pretty.
Yeah. I mean, if you would have seen my childhood pictures.
What are you talking about?
I think some of you have.
So, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. Like this is a stereotype that you'll hear. And something that I'm very curious about is because you'll hear it's a very general statement. Oh, you got the best of both worlds. What do you mean best of both worlds, right? It's a very general statement mm-hmm. that puts a positive spin on something that could actually be very difficult for you mm-hmm. having between two countries or two cultures, right? And the thing I really want to kind of explore eventually is the idea that mixed Koreans or mixed people are genetically superior. You might have heard this. It flirts a little bit with this idea of eugenics or, you know, this superior gene and that superior gene. However, it is something that I've heard multiple times. Like, oh, because you are mixed Korean, because, you know, your dad's American, that's why you're tall. Or because, you know, your dad is this, oh, that's why you've got a good physical form. And I kind of want to know, like, is that true? Is that really true? Mm. I do know the opposite, which is if you have genes that are much too close to each other, you know, kissing cousins and all that, we know that genetically that isn't healthy.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, like, how far apart in terms of diversity will it expand the benefits?
Right.
Right? So I have no definitive answer to
and
that.
And to tag on to that, like, are those benefits mainly subjective in terms of beauty, or is it like objective, like genetic benefits? Mm. And of course, this goes way beyond the scope of
what we're talking about today.
You know, this is not our area of expertise, of course, but it's just a question to throw out there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of unfair because you'll hear that a lot of times. People will say that to you, like, oh, but your DNA is so good. Then how can you respond to that? Right?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I actually say that too sometimes. Like,
do you?
Jokingly, yeah.
Oh, really? To who?
No, whenever like people that, you know, I know or friends are like, man, you look really good or you look really young. And I'll throw out the DNA card. Oh. And, you know, I'll throw out the positive stereotypes even.
This is the thing too. Yeah. Like, we also ride on these positive stereotypes.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it's half joking, but I'm also like, you know, half serious.
But
too.
Yeah, I mean, in your case, it is true. Black don't crack, Asian don't raisin. We get it. Okay. You got the best of both worlds. That case. And you know, I gotta work really, really hard because I am younger than you and I want to keep looking
you look
that way.
Significantly younger than me.
Well,
like, you look great too.
Oh, you. Anyway, these are some positive stereotypes that you are riding on. And you know, you well deserved. You've got great skin.
Well, thank you. yeah, I mean, so like even I can fall prey to I guess pushing the positive stereotypes, mm-hmm. even though I guess we're going to be talking about the downsides of doing that.
Sure. And again, like all of this, I think what's so interesting about, you know, using stereotypes and these kind of phrases, like, oh, all mixed people are pretty whatever, and jumping that on that as a joke or using it to pump something up. Like, we use stereotypes all the time. Mm-hmm. I think the important thing is that we as individuals have the wisdom and common sense to know, okay, yes, you're good looking and you've got great skin. Thanks to your parents because you got great genetics. But we're not saying, oh, I guess all Black and Koreans are like that. Mm-hmm. They're so lucky, right? We have the discernment to know, like, oh, I'm talking to you. And you're using that positive stereotype and that's fine because, you know, I know you and I know this doesn't define every single person.
Right. And I think, you know, it's very contextual too because if you're like with a group of friends and there's like no offense to bringing up certain stereotypes and you're just joking, like for me personally, I'm like, if you know, if it's within your friend group and you guys are all cool with it, whatever.
Of course, because they actually know who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I guess it's not a black and white thing. Like this is always bad to do this or to say this.
Right.
So yeah. So I guess I'm giving myself a get out of jail free card because sometimes I throw out the positive stereotypes referring to myself. maybe that's just the narcissism in me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay. So for example, another stereotype that we might hear is the multicultural upbringing. Mm. And I think that this can also… On one hand, we look at this as a very positive thing. Wow, 다문화 가정. You have a multicultural upbringing. You've got a mixed family. You're bringing multiple cultures into your household. That means you as a person are better at navigating cultural issues or, you know, seeing both sides of the issue.
Right.
So ideally, we would say like, yeah,
Sure. That would make perfect sense. If I've got parents from two different backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, and I understand them well, and you know, and I've done a great job navigating both of that, awesome. And you don't want to deny the positive benefits of that. Mm-hmm. But what that also does is sometimes, and I've heard this too, when people say it to me, when I say like, yeah, that's true, but I struggle to understand my mom. Or I'm stuck in the middle, or sometimes I'm forced to choose between two sides and I don't know, or both sides are rejecting me at once. Mm-hmm. When you bring up those kind of things, a lot of people don't want to hear that. And they're just kind of like, oh, but you know, you're so lucky you got this multicultural upbringing. So right. It dismisses some real issue that you might be experiencing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a very common thing that I've sort of noticed within like mixed Korean friends growing up. Mm. And even to some degree, even myself, different periods of times, like, yes, you do have two cultures that are representing you through your parents, but that doesn't mean you necessarily get all of that from your parents or get to experience all of those cultures from your parents. Like a good example could be you grow up and let's just say your mom is Korean and she grew up taking you to Korean church like me and my sister. Mm-hmm, we went to Korean church. She is very actively involved in the Korean community. But let's just say your dad, who is also of another culture, maybe you don't get that same sort of exposure to whatever your father's culture is, whether it be the language, the food, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So there could be a little bit of a void or there could be a like, oh, I just never experienced that.
Yeah.
You know, that other side.
Yeah.
So it's not always a cut and dry, wow, you're getting like a double dose of, you know, each culture. It's, you know, it's more complicated and nuanced than that. And it just really depends on the situation and the environment too,
right?
Where you're living.
And that's why having just that general statement of a positive stereotype, it can really just be like, oh, well, you're lucky. Mm-hmm. You got both best of the world. That's great. You know, you're multicultural. Awesome. Good for you. Like you're better than us in that case. You're so lucky. So why are you complaining about, you know, oh, but I don't really have access to both languages or I don't have, right? Because it's in maybe to someone else's point of view, you're the fortunate one here.
Right.
And it can be hard to bring up the actual difficulties you might be facing. And also on top of that, like what you mentioned at the end, your surroundings, where you are. Mm-hmm. So I think about a lot of cases in Korea where you might have migrant brides.
Right.
So you have maybe a Korean father and then a mother who's from a surrounding, usually Asian country. And your child is growing up in, it can sometimes be the countryside or maybe because your mother is from a country that is socioeconomically not doing as well as Korea. So you're feeling some of those maybe biases or prejudices from your surrounding Korean classmates or just the Korean society in general. So in that regard, I don't really know if you would be happy that this is a multicultural upbringing. You're fighting an uphill battle. Like, oh, okay, I'm in Korea. I have a Korean father, but am I accepted as Korean? Do I get help at home to learn the Korean language? So being multicultural in this case isn't necessarily a positive thing.
Right.
In a way, it can be a burden to you or a struggle. Mm-hmm. But this is why having just that general statement, oh, well, you're mixed Korean, therefore you got a multicultural upbringing, 좋겠다.
Right.
Like it dismisses what might actually be a real issue.
Right. And there's another aspect to that too, just briefly, is there could be a little bit of shame.
Mm.
So like, you could be very much like it's the thing of maybe you're very familiar with one side or one culture, like from one of your parents, and then you have no exposure or even no interest in the other side, you know, and there could be a little bit of like, oh, I feel bad because I'm embracing this side versus that side. You know, when I used to talk a lot about like my culture upbringing on YouTube, on the Sky City channel, and I moved to Korea, I would get comments quite consistently of like, well, why don't you move to Africa? like to find out your father's
you
side.
You know what? That's so weird. That's like the opposite of people being like, oh, you don't want to be here, then go back to Africa.
Right.
As opposed to people who are like, you should figure out where you're from. Go back to Africa. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So it's like, I didn't feel like bad or anything like that because one, my dad was not from Africa. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so like, where am I going to go?
Right.
I have no family there, you know, but like, there might be situations where people might have their roots strongly connected to another place and they might feel bad because it's like, oh, I'm living in Korea and this is where my home is where my comfort is. But, you know, my father is from Turkey or from Egypt. And like, do I go over there to live to kind of split my time so it can be fair? So there is this feeling of shame that people can deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you bring it up with somebody, oh, do I say I'm this? Do I say I'm that? It can get complicated. And if the other person is just, they just want to view you from a stereotype point of view. Oh, well, you're just lucky you got that. Mm-hmm. Then it makes it harder for you to bring up who you really are.
Yeah.
Which is, oh, well, I actually have this and I have actually that. But if the other person is already in their mind, they have decided what you are, which is what a stereotype does, then that effectively ends the conversation and they'll never get to know you further. So another example of like a positive stereotype that can kind of shut down the conversation on who you are is like, for example, I've heard this one a lot. Oh, like me, my personality is, I tend to be a little lighter. I like to chat up with people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always 눈치 buying all the time, right? I can be a little bit more 여유로워, like a little bit more free than maybe my fully Korean counterparts when I'm in a social setting or I'm at a party. Just my natural instinct is, oh, I like to strike up the conversation and lead up the things. But somebody who sees me as only mixed Korean will be like, oh, 역시, it's because Becky's part American. That's why she's so cool and friendly. But that is like, oh, what does that mean? That dismisses Becky who Becky is.
Right.
Right. Oh, no, this is my personality.
Right.
Right. Or you'll hear it like, I hear this a lot times in Korea too. You have somebody who's a sportsman or on a show who's very physically fit, who's half black. And people will be like, oh, of course he's good at sports. Of course he's strong because his dad is black. Which is dismissing maybe all of his own hard work or the fact that he enjoys these kind of hobbies.
I have something to say about this.
Okay, yes, speak up, sir.
In regards to, yeah, like the whole half black thing,
yes,
right?
Say it.
Like we've already established I was not good at basketball, right? So didn't get that.
Okay.
But also like the whole working out thing, you know, I love to work out, stay physically fit.
Yes.
I've been quite actively like just lifting weights, been in the gym, keeping myself, you know, more or less just fit for the past.
I think we've established that I'm pretty, you know, aware. Uh-huh. Of
yes,
this.
I know you are. And so I've been doing this for over a decade.
Yeah.
Like consistently, right? When I started, I was just like kind of like just a little skinny pudge.
Like a noodle.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I worked very hard. I didn't grow up, like I'd never seen my six pack until my 20s.
So where was it before?
I don't know. It was just hiding. But like, so as far as like the whole you got black jeans, you're athletic, you're cut, you know, you have the ability to have lots of muscles. Not me. I don't know where that went.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like so basically my point is I've had to work hard to achieve the level of physique that I have, which isn't like, you know, out of this world. But it's just out of this world. You know, athletic physique. But I used to hate it when people would say, oh, it's because you're black or your dad's black. Mm-mm. My dad was like, he's just super like genetically just a very skinny guy. He graduated high school at 115 pounds at 5'9", you know?
Whoa.
So like…
Whoa!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's like less than me.
I know, right?
I'm 5'9".
Exactly. Oh. So like in our family, like we're not like built people.
Right.
But you know, so that kind of takes away, like you're saying, like my effort that I put in, my studies, my research, and just really going after to build what I have built.
Mm.
Yeah, so
exactly.
I just had to get that off my chest.
No, I think that's true. And that's the example of the positive stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like these positive stereotypes and it can come either from your Korean side or it can come from whatever your other side is. And the unfortunate truth about these kind of stereotypes in Korea is like a lot of times maybe your other half is not from Korea and it's from a nation that Koreans are not familiar with.
Right.
And so for Koreans to make sense in general of your country or your people or whatever, they have generated a stereotype that is just well circulated and never really discounted because Koreans just don't have any interaction with you. So why do they need to think differently? And so when you appear, oh, I'm half Korean and half Arab. I'm half Korean and half such and such. Koreans can easily jump on like, oh yeah, isn't that the country where such and such?
oh, you must be good at dancing then because you're from this country. Ah, yeah, this country, this is where everyone does this thing. Oh, show us, show us, show us. On this point of view, it's almost like, oh, it's good. That's cool. You have this unique aspect of you, but it might be completely untrue.
Right.
And it's much easier to make sense of you as a mixed Korean, as if they don't see you as fully Korean, then, oh, they got to have something else. Ah, I know they're from Peru and all Peruvians are like this, right? And so it's a way to try to connect with you, but in also at the same time, it's not allowing you to be truly who you are.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times you are fighting that battle to prove not only am I Korean, but I'm also me. Right?
Right. Just as an individual with my own personality, my own likes, dislikes, experiences. Yeah. You know, it's funny whenever like, at least in our experiences, and I say our because we talk about this all the time with each other, but like it's funny how once it is like in Korea, like when they find out you're half something else or you're half Korean, the immediate response is always to look, you know, to talk about or address the other half instead of seeing you as, oh, you're one of us or you're half of us, you know, and I use air quotes in with the word half, but like it's always the other side that gets the attention.
Sure.
Right. Which how that can be maybe not so positive in the minds of a lot of us or makes us feel positive. How it doesn't make us feel positive is it points out the otherness. Like immediately, like, oh, we're different.
Right.
You already see us as different. And when you're trying to gain the acceptance or just want to be accepted like any normal person would, that doesn't always feel good or that's just like a little jab and you get that enough, it starts to build up inside.
That's very, very true. Now for my own experience, this has happened multiple times. I don't know about you, but like if somebody is ever curious about, you know, oh, you're mixed Korean, your dad's American, mom's Korean. Oh, how is that? Like, oh, what do you like better, America, Korea? You know, they will ask these kind of questions. They always come up first. And then I will say like, oh, you know, 좋은 점도 있고 나쁜 점도 있고. And then they will say like, oh, well, you're so lucky because you probably speak Korean and English both. That's so cool. I say, oh, well, yeah, I had to study a lot. I worked really hard to reach that point. Or if they ever say like, you know, if I ever bring up something like, if I feel safe enough or I feel like they're willing to listen enough and I say, but you know, it is difficult sometimes because such and such A, B, and C. Almost inevitably, the answer will turn around to be like, oh, I see that's hard. But you know what? I always thought being mixed is like such a good thing. And you know what? You have better 좋은 점, you have better points than bad points being mixed Korean. So, oh, you know, that's so great. And it's just like, good. The end. Because what do you say after that? You can't be like, no, actually, this is really hard.
Right.
you can't say that. You have to just be like, oh, 네, 맞아요. Yeah, of course it's good. Yeah, right? And
yeah.
So where does it create that space to be able to actually talk about difficult issues if everyone is assuming the positive about you? So if you have a difficult issue, how can you talk about it when the assumption is automatically just, well, everything's good. You're so lucky. Yeah. And I think we see this very clearly in the case of adoptees. Because the positive stereotype about Korean adoptees is, well, you wouldn't have had a life in Korea. That's one. So you're so lucky that somebody adopted you. Or the positive stereotype is, you had a better life because you were adopted by a family outside of Korea.
Right.
You know, you're so fortunate.
You don't have to go through the Korean school system and through like that work culture.
Right. You're so lucky this family picked you. You're so lucky that they loved you. You're the one who had the good upbringing. It's not a very fair thing to say, I think, to a Korean adoptee because you don't know.
Not at all.
You have no idea. That's a positive stereotype about their real circumstance. And two, you also don't know what their life might have been like in Korea. So by saying those things like, oh, here's all the positive and it's all positive, it also discounts maybe the feeling of that traumatic separation from their family, their birth family and home country. You know, the trauma of growing up in a transracial adoptee family. So you are discounting all of those hardships because you want to have that stereotype that adoption is good for everyone.
Right. Yeah. And it just totally negates the feeling that, you know, a lot of our adoptee friends, and we know, you know, a good amount, we've spoken to a lot of them, like they, many of them, especially in their adult years, they have that curiosity of like, what would it be like to be in Korea or like to live in Korea? What would have my life been, have been like, you know, had I grown up here? Or they'll go for their, some of them will want to search for their birth family. Like a lot of people may not understand that feeling, you know, of like, well, why would you want to do that? Because you had such a great life here.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the more deeper, like, I don't know, like that's a tough one for people to hear, especially if you're in that situation where you feel like you were robbed of what you could have been. Whether your life turned out better or not, that's
exactly,
not the point.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And I think that's the key. That is the whole point about discussing these positive stereotypes and breaking it down. Mm-hmm. Because when you want to put that positive stereotype on somebody, in the end, it's still a stereotype. And this is what we mean by it can still have that negative outcome.
Right.
Because you're putting a positive stereotype on them, which means, well, if you had it good, then you shouldn't complain. If you had it good, well, what's the point about talking about all of that? You had it good. And these positive stereotypes are generated from something. And that's why like I bring up Korean adoptee as a great example, because Korean adoption, the whole PR machine behind it was, this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. America especially is doing the good, right, just thing. And so by putting that positive stereotype on Korean adoptees, you are discounting perhaps maybe any hardships that they had in their life or how they might actually be feeling about the situation. Because positive stereotype is the blanket statement.
Yeah.
We're not saying every Korean adoptee had a tough life. We're not saying that by any means. Mm-hmm. We're just saying positive stereotypes can discount the full conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is something that I wish would become a little bit more common in Korea to be able to break these issues down, to be able to talk about like our issues as half Koreans with the Koreans there, and for them to understand that like, we're all different, like as half Koreans. You can't lump us all into one category and one set of experiences. And like we don't want to be dismissed by them saying that, hey, at least you have this attribute, at least you're pretty, at least you're athletic, you know, because like we want to be heard as our own individual self, you know. So that is something that you know, I would like to see Korea begin to understand over time.
You know, isn't this similar to like, it's like when something terrible happens to you, you can have two responses. Mm-hmm. One person can respond and say, oh, that was terrible. Tell me about it. Another person can respond and say, well, at least this didn't happen. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
right,
your
right.
left
That's
hand
true.
Gets cut off and someone says, well, at least you have your right hand. Like you really hate to
Nobody
talk to
wants
that person.
To hear that.
Yeah. It's like, be quiet. But right. yeah, so it's kind of has like sometimes a little bit of that feeling. Mm. And also at the same time, like 듣기 불편하잖아. Because we create these positive stereotypes sometimes to cover a real negative issue, like the history of mixed Koreans, the first GI babies. Now, all this time later, these positive stereotypes sometimes are generated to make up for all the negativity in the past, right? Oh, yeah, that all happened to you guys back then. But look at you today. You're so pretty and you can be K-pop stars now. And wow, you're so lucky, right? But you do dismiss what happened in the past because you don't want to think about it. Especially Korea doesn't want to think about that. Mm-hmm. That's too hard. And I think the same thing can be said about Korean adoptees. We don't want to think about all that past and all that negative stuff. So we generate this positive stereotype and we don't want to hear that the stereotype is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So whether your intent is good to say those things and whether it is true or not is not always the point. The fact is a stereotype will still strip down certain aspects of your humanity and who that person is and disables the rest of a conversation from happening.
Right.
So that is really our main point that we want to bring up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hope that, like I said, that we'll be able to, well, first of all, I hope that those of you that are listening that can relate to what we're talking about, I hope you feel validated in your feelings that, hey, you know, maybe I'm not the only one that feels like these positive stereotypes are annoying or they're dismissive, you know? So that is, you know, something that we hope you can take away with, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, again, hopefully by us having these conversations, it could just add a small little, I guess, dent into like the minds of Koreans of, hey, maybe we shouldn't say these things. Maybe we should look at it another way. Maybe we should reframe how we view half Korean.
Mm. When you have these kind of discussions with Korea or any other country that you're involved with or community that you want to bring these points up to, this is the whole kind of secret trick, I guess, and which is why we do the Halfy Project, is because when you come in with a, you should not say this, don't say that, that's not really changed from the inside out. The most important thing is to have these kind of conversations that we have in a non-judgmental, non-confrontational way that's just sincere and honest. So the other person hears it and then on their own, they start to think, oh, well, maybe they would like it better if I said this. Mm-hmm. Or maybe if I don't say that, it would be more beneficial as a whole. And then a person changes from the inside out. So coming in with saying, this is wrong, you should not do it, is never the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why we have these kind of conversations, you know, discussing these things. So we hope that, we hope that this podcast and, you know, the work that we do will spread out even farther to the people who maybe need to hear it, or maybe you wish could hear it. If you can't say it to them yourselves, then you're welcome to share our podcast with them, right?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely share our podcast with them.
Oh, and because Cedric said that, it's time for listener mail. That was a good topic. I really enjoyed talking about that.
You worded it much better. I think just cut that over whatever I was trying to say. That was like very good.
No, it was great. We're still in listener mail. You checked out already.
Hello.
You were like, I'm done with this.
No. I knew we weren't done. I knew that you had transitioned to the next part. That's why I just threw my comment in there.
Okay. No, you're right. Okay. So you can write into us at thehaffyproject@gmail.com if you have listener mail, anything that you want to share and say. Check out the website. I know I say this always and always. Ooh, this is something just to plant in your ear. We are working on our newsletter.
Yeah.
And why should you subscribe to the newsletter?
Well, I think you're going to get some first class updates on whenever we have a new
luxury VIP
article on the website, a new video that drops on the YouTube, and a new podcast episode. But in addition to that, you're going to get sprinkles of thoughts from the woman herself.
Ooh, who is that?
Becky. No, but I think it's going to be a great way to touch base and to sort of see what's going on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
What we're doing and what we're up to. And you could be the first to know.
Exactly.
So I think that'll be very exciting once we launch that, I believe, in a few weeks.
Yes. So we might have it out by the time this episode is going.
That's true.
So the way you can subscribe is going to the website, thehaffyproject.com. There's a page there and you'll be able to insert your email and name. And from there, we're going to have the weekly newsletter that goes out that, just like Cedric says, we'll inform you if there's a new article, a podcast, or video that dropped. It's all in one place for you. And some exclusive thoughts and writings and discourse.
And you can only find on
that
the newsletter.
You can only find on the newsletter. So you'll definitely want to subscribe to that. So keep your eye out for that. That being said, thanks for listening. We are The Halfy Project.
That was too fast.
What? Sorry. Okay. Well, should I do it again?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That all being said, check out the website, subscribe to the newsletter, follow us on YouTube. Make sure you leave some reviews on this podcast. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We are The Halfy Project.